Welcome to the Mycelium Network Podcast, a podcast for early stage web developers and the mentors, teachers, and communities that help them along the way. Welcome, Isabel. Thanks for joining.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. I found you on Twitter when I saw a tweet of yours that said, let's open a call and connect. This is for anyone who wants encouragement when it comes to finding jobs in tech, exploring web dev career. Is that something you do regularly?
Yeah, I'm actually fairly active on Twitter. I'm definitely the type that's just all about community, you know, and just kind of like uplifting people. When it comes to coding, it's not easy. It's not easy doing it alone. And so I think community is just such an essential part of anybody's kind of coding journey. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure. So with that, the Mycelium Network, as you know, is part of a community that's exactly set up for this to help people who are early stage web developers. It's kind of focused on web developers, but it's not exclusive. We don't like tell people who aren't web developers, sorry, you're not welcome or anything like that. But also I see the concept of an early stage web developer. The reason why I use that phrasing as opposed to beginner is because like everybody's beginners at something at some point. And I think the beginner has kind of maybe even gotten a bit of a bad rap, like saying you're a beginner. So it's kind of, that's why I've adopted the phrase of early stage developer. It sounds a bit different because you might actually have coding experience, but you don't know JavaScript. Mm-hmm. You know, you can do C every day of the week, but JavaScript, you're new to that. You're new to HTML, you're new to CSS. So that's kind of why I adopted that. And also a lot of people like switch careers. Like they used to be in enterprise software development, and it's not even a career switch from not being a coder to being a coder, but from enterprise to maybe startup or enterprise to ed tech, you know, and that's also a change because the thinking, the problem solving, that's different. So again, you're new at something, you're a beginner at something. So with all of that in mind, what is your story? What is your history? How, I know that you didn't start being a coder, if I understand correctly. It's something that you're transitioning kind of into.
Yeah. So for my case, I actually have a background in marketing, specifically within the mental health field. And I was working in marketing within mental health for about 2 years. And I guess basically during COVID, I started to really think about what really interested me, what really wanted me to like kind of develop more into the career that I was getting into. And at the time, well, still is, but tech has been like trending, right? Especially during like COVID and such. And so that definitely gave me like a little interest in it. And I kind of wanted to see more of how I can get involved and such. And so now kind of just moving forward, I work for an ed tech company called Dreambox Learning as a marketing operations associate. And basically networking and just knowing how to create landing pages with basic HTML and CSS, that landed me the job in tech. And so now I'm still kind of in the process of like onboarding and training because I literally just got the job a few weeks ago. But I'm just kind of helping out like our web developers and such develop the company like landing pages and whatnot. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at now.
Awesome. That's great. Can you tell us a little bit more about Dreambox? It sounds really interesting.
Yeah. So Dreambox Learning, it's a ed tech company that focuses on adaptive kind of technology, and they really try to make a software or a program curriculum to adapt to a student's like learning. And so it's a very personalized approach to a student's like learning. So it not just helps like the student in their like learning journey, but as well as like the educator, like they're also able to kind of track and see what the student is missing and such. So yeah, it's pretty impressive technology that our company's getting involved in. So yeah.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting. I know from people that I've spoken to, one of the things they find tricky besides just finding good content is finding something that fits with their learning style. So having something that can adapt to your learning style is, yeah, that sounds really interesting. So as you're new to tech in some way, shape, and form, I know from speaking to previous guests and just in general speaking to early stage folk, there are a lot of challenges when you like walk into this new world. So for you, what have been the challenges that you've faced?
Yeah, so I mean, I can probably go off on the numerous challenges that I'm facing, but I think the common denominator, like the root of it all, is just imposter syndrome. Like I would have these constant thoughts of thinking like I'm not smart enough, or I don't know enough math, or I'm a slow learner, or even something like I don't deserve to be in tech. Like that kind of thinking just really hits hard sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe it's also just nowadays I feel like people put tech at such a high kind of standard or on some sort of pedestal that you have to be a certain somebody to get into tech. But honestly, like really anyone can do it. Anyone can learn how to code. Like I never imagined myself like being able to learn HTML, CSS, and now JavaScript. Like growing up, my dad, he was a software engineer, and he never actually pushed me to like look into web development, but I knew that he knew that I had an interest in it. And gotcha. I just remember growing up, he actually bought me this web page builder. And I was just obsessed with it. Like it was just so much fun just like putting together like really simple websites. Like, I mean, now it probably looks like crap, but like it was just so much fun, the creative process and stuff. But yeah, and I think like now I'm actually really thankful that he never really pushed me to like learn how to code like in college or in school or anything like that. Because for me, like this is the first time that I'm actually like wanting to do this myself and not really having anybody else kind of push me. Like this is something that I personally want to do. And it's just cool being able to see other people like me who are just like normal or non-tech, non-technical kind of people learn to code. So yeah, I'd say imposter syndrome was definitely like the main challenge for me. Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. And I think it's something that doesn't ever really go away. Because again, I'm going back to this idea of being a beginner at something. Like I've written JavaScript for a very long time. But in the recent year and a half or so, I started picking up TypeScript. And I mean, I feel like a complete newbie again. Oh, it's like typing. Yeah. I used to deal with types and stuff like 10 years ago when I did Java, and I left that behind. And now suddenly like TypeScript's come on the scene and it's quite the thing. And like especially when you're creating APIs, TypeScript's great because it gives you that layer of protection where it says to the user of your API, hey, you're trying to pass me a string, but I'm expecting an integer. So, you know, it kind of protects you from making a mistake even before you've written the code. Like when you try to call it, so it's great, but it's a whole new way of thinking about writing JavaScript. And even though people say TypeScript is just a superset of JavaScript, it's significantly different when you really get into it. And if you want to really make use of it properly, you know, there's a lot of differences. But the fact that you have now have a job doing some web development and stuff like that obviously means that you have found some resources that has been useful to you and helped you to learn. And I assume, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the fact that you've gone from one industry to another, you most likely had to do a lot of this by yourself. It wasn't like going to university and doing a computer science degree. It's more like by the bootstraps, you know, do it yourself. So what resources have you found that you found particularly useful and depend on?
Yeah, well, it all kind of started out with the Codecademy, and I kind of just tried like a free trial at first, and it was really nice because on their interface, you're able to kind of see like the project and the instructions. And then you also have like your space to code. And then you're also able to preview, like have like a live preview of what you're coding. All that kind of side by side, it kind of just made everything like click, like, oh, if I type this out, then this will pop up on the browser or whatever. Gotcha. And so definitely learning by actually like actually coding, like really, really helped. And then kind of from there, I went off to different resources like Scrimba. Scrimba is kind of similar in that sense. YouTube, a lot of YouTube tutorials, but I'm very, very cautious around YouTube tutorials just because you can get so caught up in the, what is that called? Quote unquote tutorial hell or whatever.
Oh, I've heard about that. Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know. I feel like as long as you're understanding the concept and the idea of like what you're coding and why you're coding it in a certain way, then things will kind of start to click. And then like, then you're actually able to make your own projects and such. And so a lot of ways that I kind of learned was like through tutorials, and then I would watch it, rewatch it, watch it again until I like understand what's going on. And then I exit out of the video and I just try to make my own thing, but that's still revolving around the idea or the concept behind that video that I just watched. And so in a way, I guess tutorial hell is not really hell. Like it can be kind of useful in some ways. And there's a lot of ways to kind of apply what you learn with those kind of resources. But as I was, so that was probably last year when I really relied on YouTube, Codecademy, and Scrimba. And then I just kind of got lost. Like I didn't really know where to go after HTML and like CSS. And I was looking on LinkedIn and I saw like a lot of people were active in the tech community on Twitter. And then that was when I hopped on Twitter just to like see what was going on. What do you mean LinkedIn or Twitter's the new LinkedIn or whatever? And so after just kind of exploring different, what is that called? Like Twitter communities and such. I connected with my friend Alondra, and she is doing the coding bootcamp, the 100 Devs bootcamp by Leon. And gotcha. I decided to hop on that too. And it has been great just having more of a structure with my learning. Like I'm able to kind of see, oh, after CSS, you can go to like JavaScript. Like it's a lot better than just kind of creating my own kind of roadmap. And with a bunch of different resources out there, I got really overwhelmed. And there were so many people saying, oh, use this. Oh no, you should listen to so-and-so. And after just sticking to like one bootcamp, I'm actually able to like see the connections with everything that I'm learning, you know, because everything is kind of like a building block from then on. Those are definitely the resources that I've used. But I think the one thing is really community, like, and within the bootcamp and on Twitter, like that has been such a huge help. And I just love how experienced web developers are like willing to like mentor and like have coffee chats for like anybody. And it's just so great knowing that like you have people who like have you back, you know, like they have like your best interest in mind and want to like push you to be like a good developer. And so it's so nice to have this kind of community that's just so, so supportive. So that's definitely, I think community is like the biggest one.
Yeah, it's super true you say that. I've always been a little weary of the industry not being as friendly and welcoming, especially when we talk about like the wider, you know, non-standard like white male like me. I've always wondered like what is the experience from that perspective, because you hear a lot of horror stories, right? Mm-hmm. Especially women in tech. I've heard a lot of stories about mm-hmm. where, you know, it's just like, even on Twitter, it's toxic. And I've always been like, how do we approach this? How do we fix this or at least improve it? So it's great for me to hear that you've had this like really positive experience. That's really good to hear. And I think mm-hmm. that leads us nicely into the next question that I had is, like you said, there's so many resources, so many things, so many possible routes you can take. So with all of that in mind and all the things that you have learned, like what has been stuff that you found particularly tricky and stuff that you feel like this kind of doesn't work so well? It would be nice if we can do X, that would have helped me a lot. So.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't really think there's anything exactly missing. Just because everybody just learns differently, hence the various amounts of resources out there, you know. Mm-hmm. But I honestly think it's important for beginners to just know that if you purchase this course or if you take this class or whatever, it does not guarantee getting a job in tech. Like, yeah. There should be a fine print for every kind of class or course out there that says it depends. Because it really depends on the person and how they learn and how they use their knowledge to apply that to their projects. It depends on their mental health. Like, mental health was such a huge thing for me to really navigate when it comes to coding. And just the job hunt, like, it can be very draining, you know? And I guess it also depends on their network and how they network and who is in their network too. I just think that there should be a fine print out there that just says it really depends, because I think it's really misleading when there are ads out there that say, oh, you'll get a job in tech like right after you complete X, Y, and Z. And, you know, it's just false advertising. Like, it's just not realistic. It really depends on the person's process. So,
there's quite a couple of those going around. There's actually one of two of them that I personally just classify as a scam. Where they advertise this thing you can join as an intern in this company, send in your resume, then you do that. Then they get back to you and say, oh, unfortunately, you didn't quite make the cut. But if you take our €200 course and you do really well, there might just be a job for you. And like, I've seen this like on some Slack channels, and I've said to people, be careful, because this is what happened to a friend of mine and this is how it played out. So I don't want to like demotivate you or anything, but be careful, be weary, because not all of this is, you know, it's an old adage. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is not true, which is unfortunate, but you know, I think people need to be careful. And I think one of the traps people also fall in with tech is you think that it's riches immediately. And I think while there is the opportunity to make good money, I think the work is hard. If you don't enjoy it, then the money's going to, you know, it's going to dry up, the feeling it gives you in the beginning, where it's like you've got some, you know, expendable income and you can buy some nice stuff. But the work is hard. If you don't enjoy it, it's going to become like any other job. You're going to end up hating it because you don't, you know, I think people need to get into coding because you like solving problems. And it just happens that you use code to solve those problems. One of the things you mentioned while you were speaking is being tired from all the interviews and the whole process around that. I know that's a part of the industry that definitely needs addressing. I think it's not great, to put it mildly. It's a combination of HR challenges and then just the interview process itself being stuck in the 90s or early 2000s or something, and it just hasn't evolved. Like, the industry has changed so much, and somehow that is stuck with it. So What do you see as problems? What makes you nervous or scared about the whole interview process, and what would you like to see changed?
Yeah, I think like when it just comes to the interview process, like in general, like no matter the industry, I think what should be, I guess the process should be like, you should really pay attention to the kind of company that you're interested in. I feel like a lot of people nowadays, they kind of mass apply to a bunch of different companies and fill out all these forms and expect something, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I mean, I just feel like that's not the best approach. Like in my case, like, I mean, I've heard of people that get lucky in that kind of process, but I think it's really important to be very careful with like think about what industry do you want to get into, and like really pay attention to the people in that industry too, and the products in that industry, you know? Mm-hmm. And I feel like that'd also be easier on the applicant, like themselves, like they're actually able to like focus on like one kind of industry, one kind of generic idea of what should be on the resume and stuff. So, and I don't know. And I think with just job interviews, like when it comes to the technical things, mm-hmm. I think there should be more resources out there for learning how to approach the more technical side of code. Like, I don't know. I know like for myself, like I needed to work really hard on remembering the technical words. And I don't know. I found that like blogging actually really helps, like actually writing out my thinking process. And I really enjoy thinking of ways to simplify complex concepts. And I always have like friends read it over to see if it like makes sense or something. And it's cool just being able to practice that, because I think that's also a need, more like resources trying to understand how to approach the technical interviews. Mm. But I feel like another thing that should change, I mean, this is kind of hard because I know recruiters are just like so busy, but I think it's just so important to not leave applicants like on read, you know, or they just give them like a generic email that doesn't give any kind of feedback. Like obviously it's such a hard process to kind of solve, but I don't know. I just feel like maybe there should be like a templated email of some sort that addresses like the kind of projects that they're like expecting or something like that. I don't know. Mm. Like I know like I've had a few friends that were applying for a few internships and dev jobs and stuff, and they got like the same kind of email, like literally copy and pasted. And I don't know, like that made me sad, because I'm just thinking like, well, that doesn't help, you know? And so it's, I don't know, it's hard. It's a very complicated process. Like I don't really know what could be a good like solution for something like that. Mm-hmm, but I just think it's just so sad when like applicants just get left on read, or they're just given that templated kind of response that has no feedback whatsoever.
Mm, yeah, for sure. No, I know. Yeah, definitely the fact I feel like at least get back to people and you know, keep them in the loop, that even if it's just this thing to say that we're still talking to applicants, we haven't made a decision yet, we'll get back to you as soon as the job's been filled. And I think the important thing is also getting back to people when the job is filled, even if they didn't get the job, to just let them know, you know.
Yeah.
The job has been filled. Unfortunately, you were not the candidate we chose, but thanks so much. Blah, blah, blah. You know, just something being a decent human being, I think is what it boils down to.
Yeah. Yeah, no, exactly.
you know, a lot of times things become so processed, not just like food, but in real life, that the humanity is processed right out of it. And the thing is,
that's so true.
It's not always a reflection of the company, unfortunately. Like I've worked at companies where the interview process was pretty terrible, but the engineering group and the people in engineering are wonderful people. It's just that there is a very, very big gap between HR and the people actually doing the work. And I don't know how you could solve that piece. Because oftentimes you might get a misperception of the company because of the interactions you have with the recruiting side of it. Because oftentimes the recruiting side isn't even part of the company. It's outsourced. Mm-hmm. And like for them, it's about how many people can we place, because we get a cut of your pay, you know, for every person they place. So, you know, there's that whole thing too. Yeah, it's a hard problem to solve.
Very complicated.
Related to that, I mean, some people might say that, you know what, I'm just going to forego the whole interview process and start my own business. And I think that is a question I have for people sometimes is, would you rather be work for someone or start your own business? But I think the bigger question I'm actually trying to get at when I ask that is, what does success look like to you? Like, you've made this transition, right, to a new, you change your career, you're in a new industry. When you look at your future, what does success look like for you?
Yeah. Well, just to address the first part when it comes to either wanting to start a business or join existing, I've definitely thought about starting a business, but I don't know. It just sounds so stressful. Like, I think you would definitely need to have like the right people like on your side, and and just, I don't know, just thinking about like funds and stuff like that, I'm just like, yeah, I don't want to stress about that kind of stuff right now. So I don't know. I'm really just drawn to businesses or just companies that have a product that I trust and believe in, and moving beyond that, even just the company culture is like really important to me. Like, I know like Dreambox, like we're super passionate about diversity and just making sure that people feel heard and like represented. I just love everything that our company's doing to really make sure that that's seen, you know? That's something that I love about like any kind of company. Like, they're not afraid to show off their diverse and inclusive culture, you know, and it's just so great. And they're not afraid to even answer the hard stuff that's like going on in the world. Like, I know our company, like once a month, like we take like an hour or so a month to just talk about hard stuff that happens in the world. Like we talked about, like Black Lives Matter, like things that are happening like in Ukraine. Like, it's just, you know, there's just so much that's like happening, and it's so important for companies to be involved in that. So definitely more than just the company's product, like definitely their culture and their values.
Yeah, for sure.
And I just love the structure of like an organization. Like, I just find a lot of comfort in that just for myself. I don't know. When it comes to success, I'd say that success is celebrating even just the littlest victories that may seem lame or small, you know? And it's really all about perspective. Like, I remember when I was just first starting out to learn how to code, like, imposter syndrome would just like hit me all the time. And I needed to figure out a way to get out of that like mental state to like keep going, you know? And I actually kept a, I still keep a journal that just documents, like, it's not an in-depth kind of a diary entry or anything, but it's just, I basically write out little things that I've accomplished throughout my life, or like my career, or my day even. That helps. Like, every little step that you take, like, that's such a big deal. And even if it feels like you're going back sometimes, but like, look at all the stuff that you've like done already, you know? Yeah. It's really all about perspective. So yeah, I think just really keeping in mind the little things that really helps kind of keep me going.
Yeah, no, for sure. I kind of started doing that as well some time ago, because I felt that oftentimes a week or so would go by and I would ask myself, what did I do in the last week? I know I was busy. I know I hardly had time for anything, but what did I do? And so I started jotting them down and, you know, using like a Kanban type thing where it's like in progress and then to done. And like at the end of the week, you can go and look at your done column and you're like, oh, that's all the things I did. And then it feels like, cool. Yeah, I did that thing and I did that thing. Oh, that's pretty neat. I think it's cool to go back and celebrate your own accomplishments, even if they're small, even if it's like I sent an email to this person that I never thought I would send an email to. You know, like me with starting this podcast, like I'm constantly reaching out to people that I'm like, hope it's okay. And you have to like imposter syndrome, exactly. You know, like you have to get past that and just send the thing or contact them over Twitter or something and hope they're not like, oh, how dare you slide into my DMs. So, so it's pretty cool. So I think one needs to do that. And I think it's useful. Like I know another person on the MyCDM network Discord. He actually keeps like it's amazing the thing he keeps. I wish I'll ask him to share it again. But it's like a diary of like his whole learning journey. It's like this whole website that he uses and you can read like everything he's learning and the struggles he's finding and all this kind of stuff. It's so interesting. And I think that's it's amazing. Nice for others to read that and to see like, wow, look at this 2 weeks was really rough. Like personal events happened that made you like not feel like learning or you just hit a wall. Because sometimes that happens, like you just hit a wall and it's like, I don't think I'll ever be able to figure this out. And then one morning you wake up and whoops, it just clicks, like closure and JavaScript. It's one of those topics where it's like, what? Yeah. Closure? What? Variable? Parent? Child? What? And then one day it's like, oh, that's what closures are. That's cool. That's super useful.
Yeah.
But there's a while where it's just like, you're saying words, but I don't know if they mean anything. Anyway, I think it's really interesting. I think it's good to keep perspective about all these things. And talking about that, I saw another tweet of yours where you said you're working on a mini math word problem game. How's that going?
It's going. It's a lot of work. I feel like my mind is just so. Like I have such a creative mind when it comes to like design. Mm-hmm, like I'm so focused on CSS and like the styling, and then like an hour passes by, I'm like, oh wait, crap, I need to work on the JavaScript part of it too. And so it's going really well. Like I'm really enjoying all the different kinds of stuff that I'm learning in JavaScript. But I really hope to kind of develop this math game for kids to just kind of practice their like math and reading comprehension. Cause I think that's, well, at least for me, I know like growing up when it came to like math word problems, like, oh my goodness. Well, first off, math was just not my strongest subject, but combining both math and reading, like that was hard. Cause like you really had to understand the text and understand like what is the question asking for. Right. So I hope that could be it's definitely a long-term kind of a project, but I hope to develop it and eventually make it live and launch it and have it available for anybody who just has like kids or is a kid and they want to just practice that. So I mean, I guess it kind of goes in line with like my passion for ed tech. So it kind of works out that way too.
That's perfect. That's super interesting. Please keep going and keep people up to date on your Twitter as it evolves.
Thanks.
I have a lot of side projects, and like some of them are just like, a lot of people think you're going to start a side project, and especially if it's an open source thing, and you're going to do it on GitHub, and the next day you're going to wake up and there's 100 stars and people applauding you on Twitter. And it's just not true. Like sometimes you're going to build a thing and like it's crickets. But it's fine because you're learning. And as long as you're building something that's useful for you, it doesn't really matter. Like if after 10 years, somebody stumbles upon it and is like, oh my goodness, look at this thing. And like one other person finds it useful, that's already worth it, really. It doesn't always have to be a thing that like, you know, turns into the next Twitter or the next whatever, you know, insert successful company here. It can sometimes just be something that's fun to do and scratches an itch and mm-hmm. helps you learn something new.
Yeah.
So if you could recommend one resource, be it a book, online course, YouTube channel, anything like that, to early stage learners, what would that resource be?
Definitely 100 Devs, the boot camp. And you don't have to join. Like if you feel like you're good just kind of going on your own, like you don't have to join the boot camp, but even just listening and watching the 100 Devs like YouTube channel, like mm-hmm. Leon is just such a great instructor, and he knows how to break things down into little pieces and just simplify things. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. Like I remember when I came across like his very first like 100 Devs video, the main thing that I got out of it was you have to understand how you learn. Like, what is the best way for you to understand like these kinds of concepts? Is it by coding? Is it by reviewing on like flashcards or like Anki cards? You really have to understand how do you learn best, and then you can move forward from that, you know? So he really helped. I'm not exactly like following the bootcamp like in order, just because there's like other things that I also like want to learn. Mm-hmm. But I think really like that was just such a good foundation, was, oh yeah, I need to like step back and figure out, yeah, how do I learn? Like, how do I like take information best? And mm-hmm. I know like for me, like this doesn't work for a lot of people, but I love taking notes, but the mm-hmm. kind of notes that I make are like flow charts. Like, gotcha. That is the best way for me to understand like how things like work. Like, I always just need a visual, and then I'll be able to like pick it up. Yeah. And sometimes flashcards works for me. I don't know. It kind of depends on like what it is, but definitely making projects and like making flowcharts really helps solidify complex concepts.
Yeah, I think if you're a visual, what they term a visual learner, I think stuff like flowcharts really works well. For me as well, I can't learn something for the sake of learning it. I have to have a purpose for it. Like, I'm going to create this like project, yes, or same. I have this client that I know is coming up, and I'm going to need to know X to do the work. Then I jump in and I learn, because it's like, okay, cool. I can learn and I can apply, learn and apply. And I think then the other side mm-hmm. of that is then this learning part and the, oh, I can't. And then you figure the thing out, taking that and writing about it. I think the combination of those three things, for me personally, it's just, that's how it gets stuck up here. I need to do it very practically. Like, I can't just learn algorithms, because maybe in an interview I'd need to answer that. It's like, that's draining for me to try and do that kind of stuff. Like, I don't know. I'm not working on a search engine or anything. I'm not doing machine learning stuff. I don't really have a super need for algorithms. And I'm just going to learn it because maybe mm-hmm. I'll need it in an interview. Yeah. So for me, that doesn't quite work. That's great. Yeah. Leon is amazing. I'm trying to get him on the show to talk with him about the other side of this journey, like being the mentor, the teacher who has to like help people get into the industry, make it a welcoming place. And how do you teach mm-hmm. and how do we fix some of the things that you've raised, like the stuff that's not
that's
as
awesome.
Easy.
Yeah.
So hopefully I can get him. Okay, so we're close to starting to wrap this up. So a new question that I have, because I think it might be cool, is if you could nominate someone that I should speak to and get on the show, who would that be?
I feel like definitely my dev mentor. His name is Alan Villa. You can find him on Twitter. It's at R Alan Villa, A-L-L-A-N-V-I-L-L-A. And he's honestly just such a great resource. Like, he's been guiding me in my professional career. And he like, we actually have a very similar background. Like, he also has a background in marketing. And I remember like the first coffee chat that I had with him, like, he really encouraged me to use my marketing skills to like get into tech. And he was like, you already know HTML, CSS. You can totally use that within emails. You can be like an email developer. Like, obviously it's not like an actual like dev kind of job, but it's definitely a start. Just knowing a little bit of HTML and CSS, like, it can definitely give you a step into tech. And I feel like not a lot of people realize that. So definitely, I would say him for sure. Like, he has such a great life story. And he's also just like a really friendly guy, super outgoing guy who just loves life and loves coding. Like, he's just so good. Yeah,
that's
he's
great. Awesome. I'll definitely reach out. Cool. And then before we wrap up, please tell us about any projects you're working on, anything you'd like people to know about, your own website, anything like that. Of course, we'll put all the links in the transcript that goes with the show. But just for you to mention anything you're excited about that you're working on, you want people to know about.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I'm currently working on two big projects. There's one that's called a study break reflection app. And basically it's the goal of the app is to kind of keep a student's stress levels in check and to encourage the student to ask for help, like when they get really, really stressed. Because I know, at least like for me and like my experience, like sometimes like stress actually prevents me from like wanting help or from asking for help. So I hope like the way, I don't know, I have a lot of ideas for how this app is going to play out. But yeah, that's basically the gist of it. And then my other one, like you said, like a math game kind of a thing. Yeah, that's definitely something that I'm really excited on working on. I don't know. I'm not really good with titles for my apps. Definitely still in the works, but I'm excited about those projects. But yeah, that's basically what I'm kind of working on right now. And I'm Izzy, and you can find me like anywhere on social media. I pretty much have my personal brand name, Izzy Visuals, everywhere. So yeah, you'll be able to find me.
Great stuff. Thanks so much again for joining. It was awesome to talk to you. It was really enjoyed. I really enjoyed a lot, learned a lot.
Yeah, thank you.
And wishing you all of the best with the future of your career. And I'd like to get you back on the show in a year or so and see where you're at. That would be super interesting.
Yeah, that'd be so cool. Well, thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Have a lovely day and speak to you soon. Thank you for listening to the Mycelium Network podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, share it with your friends. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Have something to add? Continue the conversation on GitHub and join the community on Slack. Until the next one, keep making the web awesome.